You're listening to the latest episode of African Research Excellence, the podcast from DSW that celebrates African research excellence in 2020 and looks ahead to what's coming next in the field of global health research and innovation. As you're going to hear, today's episode is a little different from previous ones. In addition to being our wrap-up episode of our short series this summer, I'm also without my regular co-host, Augustine Martin, who's currently enjoying his holidays. I am, however, joined remotely by three other DSW colleagues in a little mix-up to the regular formula. First up, I talk with Imali Ngusale from our Kenya office, and we then feature an exchange between me, my colleagues Mekdelawit Ejirma, a youth advocacy officer from our Ethiopia office, alongside Elsabet Adisu, a youth champion working with us in Ethiopia. In today's episode, we wrap up our short series by talking about what the situation is like on the ground in Ethiopia and regionally across East Africa. I hope you enjoy it. Imali, welcome to the show. Before we get into the real substantive issues, maybe you can just introduce yourself a little bit, your background at DSW, and why you got involved in issues around global health, R&I.
My name is Imali Ngusale, and I work as the International Advocacy Officer for DSW. My job predominantly focuses on reviewing policies and budgets that would help ensure that health systems are strengthened in as far as research and innovation is concerned. So for me, advocacy in health research and innovation is not just a job I'm doing. It's something that I believe in. I strongly feel that if our government does not invest right now in research and innovation, then challenges will ensue and my future and potential family will not realize its full potential.
Imali, you've been working on this issue for some time. In your experience, you know, what are the major advocacy challenges that you've come across in your work in the region when it comes to global health research? You know, talking to people in politics, but also, you know, administration and local government.
One of the major challenges in research and innovation advocacy is information. Not so many Africans are acquainted to the policies that actually support health research and innovation. And it is for this reason why it is not capitalized as one of the key priority areas when it comes to domestic funding.
Those challenges that you set out there, you know, what's the track record like of the Kenyan government? I mean, you're based in Nairobi. What's their track record like when it comes to, you know, investment in health research and follow through on international commitments?
I must admit that the Kenyan government has demonstrated a commitment towards health research and innovation. And this is very visible when you look at the policies and strategies that have been put in place over the years. Unfortunately, these policies have not been implemented. And because they've not been implemented, the government has not been able to oversee or regulate any health research and innovation activities. Worse still is that there are barriers that contribute to the weak health systems that have been exposed by the COVID-19. And this would mean that those research and innovation policies are not translating to the quality of life Kenyans need.
And, you know, something that we've always talked about on this podcast with other guests is, you know, the critical mass of working in coalition with other organizations. You know, what's the status of that in your work with DSW in Kenya and in Nairobi? Is there much coalition? I mean, maybe you can just outline a little bit, you know, the kind of organizations we work for, and obviously because this is a sort of an EU-centric podcast, you know, what kind of interaction you've had or we've had as an organization with the European Union when it comes to global health research.
DSW in Kenya has been working with an amalgam of agencies. And by this, I mean civil society organizations, government agencies, international agencies, as well as the European Union. For the civil societies, we have worked with PATH. We have also worked with IAVI, which is predominantly seeking to reduce HIV prevalence. We've worked with government agencies like the Ministry of Health, the Ministry of Education, Science and Technology, more specifically with the National Commission for Science and Technology and Innovation. And this has been specifically related to the studies that we've done on STIs and also on family planning. We have also extended our work with international agencies such as the United Nations agencies, and this has helped us to really brainstorm and also jumpstart the implementation of the United Nations Development Assistance Framework. In as far as science and technology and innovation is concerned, I must admit that generation of policies and implementing these policies are still at the infant stages, for the simple reason that the landscape of Kenya is still new to the environment that would fast track global health research and innovation. In as far as the European Union is concerned, DSW Kenya has had the privilege of being a partner and implemented programs in some of the most vulnerable places. Our focus has, however, not been on science and technology per se, but we have indeed seen some nutrition policies being put in place, and we've been able to advocate for the implementation of these policies by government agencies at national level.
And I suppose sort of a final question, which I know a lot of our listeners are interested in. What's been the reaction, or what's been the government reaction to the COVID-19 outbreak? I mean, we've obviously seen a lot of legislative and policy work here in Brussels, and I know a lot of organizations are advocating for that. What's been the reaction of the government down where you are?
What I can say with reference to the COVID crisis is that the pandemic has been a game changer in the health sector in Kenya. To begin with, it was not very easy to identify the pre-symptomatic and asymptomatic individuals for the simple reason that not sufficient funds were put in place to measure this. Diagnostics and treatment became very, very difficult, and the government had now to spend more money to counter the rapid transmission of the pandemic as opposed to curing it. This makes it possible for us to now see the COVID-19 more or less like an opportunity for R&D, because it shows that without proper investment, people will suffer.
And I suppose a parallel question to that is, you know, what's the impact of the pandemic been? I mean, in the beginning, African numbers were looking quite good relative to, let's say, in East Asia, Europe, and certainly in the US. But we've seen a slight spread now, and obviously there's been lockdowns across the region. So, you know, what's the situation where you are right now?
Unfortunately, Kenya, just like many other African countries, was not spared from the COVID-19 pandemic. The lockdown the government put in place did not lock out the adverse effects of the disease. Of particular concern was the ill preparedness we had in as far as diagnostics is concerned, and also vaccine development. Worse still is the protruding economic repercussion the disease has had in as far as poverty indicators are concerned. We have seen a sprout in as far as poverty-related diseases are concerned, and the reprioritization of health funding has seen a toll in as far as government policies are concerned. If the situation ensues, there is no telling of what the future holds. On a rather positive note is the fact that the crisis has shown the importance of investing in research and innovation, and it is my hope that the government will finally make due its promise. It is also my hope that partners like the European Union will not hesitate to join hands.
And I think on that strong and optimistic note, Imali, thank you very much for coming on the show. I look forward to seeing you soon, maybe not as soon as we would like, but certainly when international travel is allowed again, hopefully you'll be up in Brussels in no time at all. But for now, Imali, thank you very much. And with that, we move on to our next guest. Mike Delewitt is a youth advocacy officer based in our Ethiopia office. Unfortunately, we'd love to have had an interview with Mike Delewitt, but because of technical and connection issues, that is a bit of a challenge in Ethiopia right now. But in a very important moment for Ethiopia at the moment, there's a lot happening in the country, and particularly from the advocacy point of view. So we're delighted to have Mike Delewitt here to be able to talk to us just very briefly about, you know, what work we're doing in the field of advocacy in Ethiopia, and then also what we're doing to work with young people. Be mindful that the recording is a little bit choppy, but that's to be expected. So what you're going to hear now is just a little bit of an overview from McDelawit, from her situation in Ethiopia, her work, what she's doing to support young people to raise awareness around global health issues and health issues locally, and a little bit about what she hopes in terms of policies coming down the line in the future.
Thank you so much. In Ethiopia, we start advocacy work in the year of 2020. So as a starting point, we have been providing training on the concept of advocacy for youth champion in different youth clubs. This is to create the environment which youth champion can make their voice heard at regional, national, and international issues. We have also started the engagement of our youth champion on European Week of Action for Girls and Health Research and Innovation Advocacy. The health sector in Ethiopia have many concerns, such as limited number of health institutions, inefficient distribution of medical supplies, and disparity between urban and rural areas, because many rural people have to move more than 10 kilometer road to get nearest health center. This problem makes it difficult to access healthcare service in Ethiopia. The same goes on the research and innovation. Many neglected diseases which need research are basic problem of Ethiopia, such as malaria and HIV. Even there is progress in field of health, there are challenges we are facing as a person who is engaged in the work. Some of the challenges are the prevention work is really low, scarcity in supplies, the economy itself is another challenge, and also misunderstanding of community, especially in the issue of sexual reproductive health, are major challenges. As this W Ethiopian office, we have done so much to overcome those challenges, working closely with the Federal Ministry of Health, regional health bureaus, and different health centers. We provide training for personnel who works as the field of health, like nurses and extension health workers. We also provide different material which can support healthcare service for the community. And also we have parent-student dialogue, which is helping to clear the misunderstanding of sexual related diseases and sexual reproductive health among community. Since health system capability is limited in Ethiopia, COVID-19 has been influencing the health sector with taking full of attention and divert of the health workers and the finance. People also stop seeing doctors, they stop going to health centers. So due to the fear of COVID, even pregnant women have been delivered their baby at home. Sexual reproductive health issue like family planning also neglected due to the COVID. COVID could be the opportunity to raise awareness of on the other health challenges. As Ethiopia, COVID alerts the government to revising, rebuilding, and renewing health system, and the gender-based violence concern have been raised throughout the country with a campaign called Zimalilim, which means I want to be silence. It is a country-based movement. Also, the youth engagement was highly showing in the mitigation process of the COVID, so it could be a green light to engage youth on another health-related advocacy.
Thank you, McDelawit. And that leaves us finally with our last guest. Elsabeth Adisu is a youth champion based in Ethiopia, working with her Ethiopian colleagues to advance issues around health, gender, family planning and other issues that we work on in Ethiopia. Elsabet, maybe I can start. Maybe you could just tell us a little bit about your background. Where do you live? Why you became interested in the issues of health advocacy, and how you came to work with DSW?
First of all, thank you for giving this opportunity. Then I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Elsabet Adisu. I am grade 12 student. I was born in Marsk in Dangla, and also I live in Dangla, Walada. I have personal knowledge of computer. Additional to this, I am a member of Kadama Anti-AIDS and Sexual Reproductive Health Association, and have been working as a volunteer for 8 years, and I'm interested in the field of health and in health advocacy. I saw much problems sticking by health, such as not use family planning, do not speak clearly parents with their children about sexual reproductive health, fast distribution of HIV AIDS. The society have a lack of awareness about sexual reproductive health, abortion, rape and female genital mutilation. So, interested in the field of health, I wanted to solve and completely remove the list problems. Not only these problems, but also the problems of medicine, like drugs and family planning materials, have low quality products. The reason of this, I interested advocates on health problem.
You know, based in the region and being a young person growing up and seeing what's happening around you, maybe you could just give us a sense about what the major health challenges are in your region right now in 2020.
Next then, the major challenge in our region is addiction. Addiction is the most dangerous habit. This affects the person who addicted by different habits, like smoking cigarettes, chewing chats, drawing, drinking high amount of alcohol, and so on. Then these habits have many effects their everyday life. For example, their workers, they not punctual because they don't arrive on time, they haven't work ethics, they haven't respect their work, so this person follows rejected from their work. Next then, this affects their social life. They catched by different diseases and mostly sexual transmitted diseases, and they become sick, so they don't participate in community participation. They don't lead their life because they don't instructed their mind, and they get a big economical decreasement. Additional to this, that affected family relationship. More addicted persons too near to intoxication, and that comes conflict with families, don't fulfill basic things their family, don't keep their sanitation, they hated by their children. After a conflict, it gains the separation of family. The family will separate, and their children lives without mother and father, without any controller person. The specific challenge of females are the most lack of awareness from the society.
These challenges that you laid out here, you know, how do they affect you and how do they affect your friends and your peers in their everyday lives, you know, growing up, being in school, other issues like that?
Females or girls are inferior than males, and they give low logical belief on her ability. They take female cannot do anything, but females can do everything. So the most challenge is lack of awareness from the society. These action leaders not get education opportunities, not get equal work opportunity. They work on household workers, like collecting firewood, fetching water, watching cattle, prepare food, and their workers invite to gender violation. Example, they collect firewood from a far forest. So the interest reap. So the solution is create awareness for the society.
And your advocacy work, maybe you could just give me a bit of information. I know the listeners will be very interested in listening to that. You know, what are you doing as a youth champion? And what kind of things have you been working on lately?
My advocacy work on health asks very hard and strenuous work. I work tired journey and I want to achieve the quality of girls. I achieve this health field. I want to advocate gender issue, especially gender violence. And I want to create awareness for the society about sexual reproductive health information.
You know, something we're always keen to understand, especially, you know, at a distance in Brussels, is the kind of issues and obstacles that young people particularly and also our colleagues in country face. You know, what are the big issues that you encounter as a youth champion, as a youth advocate in your work in Ethiopia?
Advocacy is a complex case, so it has many challenges, like us, every person not understand our idea for a good, they aware badly that creates some time and make affair fear from females, sometimes rare decision makers creating this. And my overcome, I am advocator, so I change every decision maker person's complex idea, and I produce effective and powerful girls, and also I produce native young person free from any sexual reproductive health problems.
What are the big needs? What are the big opportunities to improve health in the region? I know Ethiopia stands out as a country that's had significant advances in health, particularly on maternal and child health. Is there anything in particular you see as a need or an opportunity for you that would help you as a young person, but also in your youth advocacy?
The opportunities are they want us equal education, work opportunity, speaking opportunities. In my region, I want us these opportunities to improve our girls and youngest person, and work strong on health field, because females are victims on their organs and they get fastly diseases. So want to rapid change the opportunities, especially for educational opportunities.
And any final message that you'd like to share with our audience? I know they'd be interested to hear particularly a voice from the field.
My final message for my audience is, we can prevent sexual reproductive health problems like addiction, HIV, fistula, teen pregnancy, and gender violation through strength and participant work. Thanks very much.
And that's it for this series of African Research Excellence. Thanks again to my guests on today's episode, Imali, McDelewitt, and Elsabeth, to our producer for the series, Johnny Rowe, our illustrator, Elisa Thaler, and for the music courtesy of Epidemic Sounds. As the EU and African Union get closer to an agreement on the future of relations between the two continents towards the end of this year, we may return for a special episode or two. But for now, that's it from us. I hope you enjoyed our series, and keep an eye out for more from DSW on this and other issues in the coming months. Thanks for listening.